What is a life? Is it a dream? Is it a twinkle in your mother's eye? Is it a present to unwrap on the day of your birth from that momentous first liberated cry? Or is it alone? An illusion? A lie? What, after all, is a life if we die? A final breath? A last goodbye? Every day, like a vapor, passes away and we finish our years with a sigh. But another question cuts deeper still. What is a death if love can't be killed? When last sighing breath, once expelled, isn't stilled, but with anticipation is held until the third day dawns and light reveals that even tomb's empty and can't stay filled. I ask you, what is a death if Jesus is real? Merely a stop on the road to resurrection. So let's be on our way in hope, ready always to revive. Weak death is but an empty threat that proves that we are alive. Okay, well, hey, church. Good morning. How are you? I know I just have to pull up one other thing. Forgive me. Hey, I have a question. How many of you were helping with our Justice Elderly Partnership yesterday with Catholic Social Services? Anyone else? Oh, look at this crew. Wow, yeah, let's give them a hand. What a beautiful work. There was upwards of 70 of you serving at 7 homes, which is over half the homes that they had set aside to serve people, to clean up in the fall, and you literally ushered in the winter. It snowed the very next day. So thank you so much for serving. That's a huge part of loving as Jesus loved or dreamed to do that. So that's beautiful. Thank you, Sarah Marie, for your help with that and for others who served and helped to mobilize that group. Let's give them another hand. Let's do that. Another reason to be excited is this is Baptism Sunday. I love Baptism Sunday. Love this. What a beautiful picture of the gospel being lived out before our very eyes. We get to remember that we're buried with Christ in his baptism, into death, buried with him into his death, and then raised to walk. We come out of the water, raised to walk in newness of life. Remember of what, it's an image of what's happening spiritually through Jesus' death and resurrection to free us from our sin, to wash away our old life, and then he fills us with his Holy Spirit so that we can live a new kind of life and become a new creation. I love that. I love that imagery. And it's a beautiful picture for this series, right? Hope Resurrected. We're in part 2 of 3 today. Hope Resurrected. And we've really been asking that question at some level or another. When is it too late? When is it too late for God to move? I have things that I'm hoping for in my own life. I have things that I'm hoping for our church, for this community, a renewal, a resurrection, a blessing, a fruit that lasts. I'm hoping on behalf of our community. Some of you are as well. Many of you are. The scripture we're going to jump into today is in some ways about hoping on behalf of a community. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37, but it reads less like a story and almost more like a dream or a vision. But it's contextualized in a story that God is writing with his people Israel. And so I'm going to share a little bit of that story with you today. We're in the 6th century BC, and Ezekiel is a priest in Jerusalem. And it's at that point that King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire comes down with his army, and he takes away a handful of captives, including Ezekiel the priest. But he leaves most things relatively the same, but he switches out the king in Jerusalem with someone else he thinks will be loyal to him. But things go kind of back to normal. And this king in Jerusalem is paying lip service to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, but on the side he's trying to kind of accumulate power for himself so eventually he can break free from Babylon. So he's making a political and military alliance with Egypt. Even though the Lord had said, don't go back that way again. I took you out of slavery there. Don't go back that way again. And yet he makes a military alliance. So he's feeling stronger. Things are looking good. And it's at that time that there are two sets of prophets coming to the king and prophesying two very different things. The first set of prophets says, hey, king, things are going well. The Lord is with us. Eat, drink, be merry. The second set of prophets includes Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet. And he's saying, no, this isn't over. King Nebuchadnezzar is coming back. He's going to destroy Jerusalem. He's going to take the rest of us into exile. They didn't really like what he had to say. That's in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, in Babylon, you have Ezekiel, and he's with these downhearted Jewish exiles. And what is his message of hope to them? This is about to get way worse. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to destroy Jerusalem and bring the rest of the country into exile. So you might be asking, well, what happened? 586 BC, about a decade later, King Nebuchadnezzar comes back, ransacks Jerusalem, takes God's people away into exile. Rock bottom for the nation of Israel. We might ask, why are these messages between these prophets so different? Well, the message from the false prophets, their hope was tied to right circumstances. Things look good. The Lord must be for us. But the message of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who were still watching and seeing that God's people hadn't repented, but were still worshiping other gods and not worshiping the Lord, their hope was tied to right worship. When you think of your own life, the things that you hope for, is your hope tied to right circumstances? Or is your hope tied to right worship? Because the temptation will always be to look around, and if things are going well, we think God is for us. He's with us. This is great. But if things are going poorly, we think, what's wrong? Like, why does the Lord abandon us? Because our orientation for hope is around our circumstances. But when we are oriented around right worship, what we ask in all situations is, Lord, what are you doing, and how can I obey? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in and through me in this good circumstance, in this difficult circumstance? Our hope not tied to right circumstances, but to right worship. But it's at this rock bottom moment that we turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. This is what Ezekiel says. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. This is a valley in Babylon. And he says this of the valley, it was full of bones. And he led me around. The Lord led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Why does he want us to know these are dry bones? These are people that aren't half dead. They're not recently dead. They are very, very dead. They are the most dead. These bones have no moisture left in them. These are dry bones. And then the Lord said to me, to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? That question disturbs me. It wrecks me because I think of the things, if you want to know what you're really hoping for, don't ask yourself, what am I hoping for? Ask yourself, what am I afraid to hope for? That's the stuff that you really care about, where it's too vulnerable to want it. It's the stuff you come into a room and you refuse to look at it in the corner because you don't want to engage with that level of hope. That's the stuff that I feel like the Lord is pointing to and saying, look me in the eyes, son. Can these bones live? And if I'm honest, I'm terrified. I can't say, of course they can, because I'm scared to hope. But I also don't want to say, no way, that'll never work out, because I'm face to face with the Lord. So I'd probably say something more like what Ezekiel said. Oh, Lord God, only you know. Oh, Lord God, only you know if these bones can live. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. The word for breath in Hebrew is ruach, or spirit, or wind is also how it's translated. So when we hear Holy Spirit in Hebrew, we're hearing ruach, breath. He says, I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so Ezekiel says, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, before the words are even out of his mouth, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. It's the word of the Lord that's waking them up. And I looked, Ezekiel says, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. See, as we hope together as a community, in the same way that our hope ought not be tied to right circumstances, but to right worship, the way that we gauge our progress toward these dreams is not by asking, does this look good? But rather by asking, is the Spirit of God in this? Here are these bodies of flesh lying in the field. Certainly looks better than the bones that were there before, but there was no breath in them. We do not ask, does this look good? But is the Spirit of God in this? Verse 9, then the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And the Lord said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. When is it too late? Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. I love that he ends with, I have spoken, and I will do it. And the dreams that God has called us to, those places of hope that he's called us to, our hope is not tied to right circumstances, but to right worship. And as we go, our question is not, does this look good? But rather, is the Spirit of God in this? And in the end, our hope really comes from not what we can do, but from what the Lord has promised he will do. Amen. We live today because Jesus, the Word, became flesh and lived among us. Because he took the death sentence that was upon us, he bore it himself and paid the price for our sins to make us clean, to forgive us. And to show that he had power to overcome death in the grave, he was raised on the third day. And he sent his Spirit to indwell the church so that we might be filled with that same resurrection life and live differently. And today, we get a picture of that hope through baptism. We get a picture of it, and we answer the question, when is it too late for the Lord to do a miracle? Never. It's never too late.